The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. He doesn't care. He doesn't have to, because there's no one else like him. It's Peter Boyles on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Morning, everybody, on a Thursday morning at 7, 710, KNUS, Denver's talk station. Voice of the people on a Thursday morning, November 12, 2020, 710 KNUS Weather Center weather. 45 will be the high, 57 on Friday, and 58 on Saturday. 303-696-1971. Rob Nadelson will join us. And then at 8 o'clock, I've been talking about this book, Empire, William Paley and the Making of CBS. Just a powerful book. I don't know where to begin except for now, since Sunday, I spend my leisure time reading about the outcome of this election. And the state of Georgia announced last night, early this morning, that, and it's called a battleground state. It's interesting in terms of the smart people that I read leading into this, who all said, watch Georgia, watch Georgia. And I was told to ignore all that. But now I said, no, watch Georgia. And the great line is, if it goes blue, go to bed. Well, it's still not sure. The battleground state of Georgia is going to conduct an audit, hand count all the votes and see what happens. As we came to work this morning, the president is slightly under. Joe Biden is ahead 49.5 to Donald Trump's 49.2. I'm looking everywhere. I can't find the fraud. And it isn't that it isn't there, but again, I was telling Billy, it's like the Roswell crash or UFOs or Bigfoot. A lot of people will say a lot of things, but you got to go into court. And Donald Trump, again, watching this happen, any hope of Donald Trump staying in the Oval Office, you got to have proof of voting fraud. And keep in mind, we live in this crazy era of watching the internet work and talk radio and the idiots that run TV, but we're still down to, you got to do this. And I've read about the signed affidavits and the computer glitches and dead people. Fine. Let's put them all together, walk in, and show them. Oh, it's coming. This is like talking to Dick Wadhams is on the show tomorrow. It's like Dick Wadhams telling me that Cory Gardner commercial, that's coming, Peter. That's coming, Peter. Donald Trump got he was so unfairly treated since it started to happen. And now where are we? And it's interesting, Cory Gardner, whose seat will be so needed, and the rest of the Republicans in Colorado, when you see the wins that took place, and there was no blue wave except here, and these people who did win, who upset, they were Trumpers, or Trumpists, America first, and nationalism, and bringing about, you know, the love of country, securing the borders, and taking on the PRC and taking on NATO and the worst of these things, the unnecessary, ridiculous wars back to Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, through the Bushes, the unnecessary wars and getting away from these ideological crusades. Donald Trump did it. Donald Trump, I think, you know, the Peace Prize. What Donald Trump did in the Middle East is the equivalent, I've said this many times, of the Berlin Wall, knocking it down. So now everybody wants to be your friend again. China Joe goes out there and all the little Chinaettes and all the media people and all the, you know, we're just going to be friends now. It's time to heal. Dude, you made the stack. You what do they say in wrestling? You gigged us. That's what they call a gig when you blade. You know, you did hard way juice, man, on me. Supremacist, Nazi, all this kind of stuff. And then after you said all these things to me and other people, Donald Trump supporters, now we're supposed to say, but hey, we didn't mean it. Really? Resist. All right. Let's go back to the phones. Whoever this is, You're on the radio show. Good morning. We get blacked out names every once in a while. You are who? Good morning.
Morning, Pete. Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Doug in Denver.
Hey, Bubba.
What I'm thinking is if everything that we've been reading about these Dominion voting machines is true, when they do a hand recount of the ballots, that will become obvious.
Okay, now let's stop again. Everything that we read, but you have to go into court, and they have to they have to be able to show it.
Right, but if they recount it and it flips the other side, you know, court would be nice and all that, but
forget court. If the Georgia count.
Right, exactly. It's the count.
Right.
If they do the hand recount and it comes up that Trump won Georgia, then Trump won Georgia.
I agree.
You know, then and if it comes up with a hand recount that Biden won Georgia, then Biden won Georgia.
I agree.
All of that will become obvious.
I agree. But up to this point, the allegations that are flying around the country of dead people and, you know, all the illegal activities, maybe we'll just call it that, I haven't seen proof that it's true. I'm not telling you it isn't true, but, you know, the great line, you know, I'm from Missouri. You got to show me the show me state. So show me where it is, and I'll go, yeah. But don't ask me to play. Don't me to be, you know, cheerleader, radio cheerleader. There's plenty of them out there. But the truth, now, the truth deals from the bottom of the deck.
Right. And, you know, now the Trump team says they're putting their case together and
good.
So on and so forth.
Bring
okay,
it.
Okay, I can live with that.
Me too.
Get your ducks in a row.
Me too.
And then put your cards on the table.
I agree.
And hopefully it comes out our way.
I agree. Now, what you going to do when Hulkamania is running wild? The frightening part to me is if you get Joe, if Joe becomes 46, then what?
Oh, that's scary, Peter, because here's what I believe is going to happen. If Joe becomes 46, you've talked about it, he's not calling the shots.
No.
He will be president for 2 years, because if Kamala Harris takes over after 2 years, the second 2 years does not count as her first term. She can run twice more. They will give amnesty to illegals who will, by and large, register Democrats.
Sure.
You register another 12 million Democrats, and so the Republicans will never win another election again.
Bubba, I said this. If, in fact, Donald Trump leaves the Oval Office, he's the last Republican in my lifetime, and I call him a Republican because that's the jacket. He isn't. But he's the last.
Right.
He's the last of his kind. You'll never see him again.
Right.
You'll never see him again.
Absolutely. We will not have a free nation again.
Well, what we'll have?
They will.
We're going to have we'll have a British form, empire in decline, British form of a socialist government, and what that will bring. Not necessarily the first afternoon. They got to get guns. Guns have to be part of this.
Right.
They have to do. I mean, they've already announced we're going to go back and talk to the Ayatollahs. They've already said we're going to go back to World Health. I mean, I can't imagine.
Right.
World Health, we're going to the Paris Accords. We're going to the Green New Deal. We're going to move in on firearms. They've announced these things.
Well, and, you know, and by giving amnesty to the illegals between 12 and they will never lose another election
We're going to talk about popular vote with Nadelson coming up. Look, these guys have won, and this is why attacking Trump had to happen. That's why, look, have you noticed now the NFL is kind of removing all the Black Lives Matter stuff off the fields? They have found, I read yesterday, they're down significantly in their ratings. The NBA, unbelievably down, and no one cared about the World Series. These are all indicators. But watching these people tell me I'm supposed to hug and kiss them and I'm supposed to be forgiving them, nah. You know, I love Michael Collins. Michael Collins, the father of the Irish Revolution. And Michael Collins said, first get your revenge. When they talked about making deals with the British and the big fella, Michael Collins, I'm reading his life again. Michael Collins said, first get your revenge. And we're not going to get that revenge. And we're just going to have to lay out here. You're a good caller, man. Thank you. Well thought out. Right now, home affordability may be a lot better than most people believe. I had a friend of mine send me a text, should I buy? Yes, low mortgage rates provide shoppers with more buying power. Spend less on interest. You can afford more home. The people can help navigate the process. I don't know what the interest rate's going to do, the prime, but American Financing right now, call them right now. Lock this down. I think that you could lock it down today. Custom loan rates and access to payment assistance really is easier than you think. It's worth a call to American Financing to learn more. Call American 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online, American Financing. Smart stuff. You get this done after first of year, you'll be rolling in clover. Custom loan rates and access to down payment assistance, and they are your guys. They explained it to me. I could get it. 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Apply online. American Financing, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. All right, so we go to Mark. Hey, Mark, you're on a radio show, man. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Hey, I agree with a lot of what you're saying, and I just feel like we've been hijacked as a society, and our way of life is going to change forever with this, with Biden being elected president.
You count on
And really, it bothers me so much because he's just going to have like a star chamber of cabinet members to run the ship. And he will not be in charge. We've got Cortez, we've got Warren, we've got Bernie Sanders. They're all going to be on his cabinet. And undoubtedly, somehow, things are going to start to really mess up our very way of life. They're keeping us at bay with the coronavirus. They want to use it as a tool, as a weapon, and really, it's very sad to see
when you watch
America fall.
Yeah, when you watch this, and maybe it is that was going to happen regardless. That you know this theme that runs through history that says all empires fail, and after 1945, the United States of America became an empire. And we were talking yesterday with Professor Smith, when Woodrow Wilson goes empire and also brings in, you know, the national income tax comes in and they bring begin a federal bank. The Federal Reserve comes out of that. And here's two things that one thing that Thomas Jefferson warns us about. Don't have a national bank. Well, a national bank, don't have a state religion or a national bank. Well, we now have a national bank. It's the Federal Reserve. But that's the beginning of a globalist America. And
yeah, I really don't want that to occur.
No,
you know,
years ago
we said we had never become another Europe, and that's exactly what we're becoming.
But one of the great things about Donald Trump is goodbye to globalism, goodbye to the Bushies, goodbye to the people, the Clintons, who did this stuff, staying out of war. Do you know how important? I mean, the United States is Jeffrey Perez, this great historian, wrote A Country Made by War. We think of the wars just from Southeast Asia to invasions in Central America, South America, and what's going on in the Middle East, two wars in the Middle East. And I can make a case that Poppy Bush in Kuwait, that was for the oil companies.
They started this battle. The left has started this battle with Trump.
Not the left.
The opposition.
No, but stop.
Started this.
Stop.
Maxine Waters and everybody wanted him impeached 4 years ago.
Of course they did.
But
they were supported. Listen to me. These people, these globalists, the elite, the swamp, the foreign policy people, the State Department, the CIA. That had nothing to do with Maxine Waters or Ocasio-Cortez. She ain't that smart.
No. But the financing coming from, like, George Soros in a lot of this is also involved monetarily.
They don't need Soros. Wall Street, the biggest banks in this country, multinational banks, are spending a fortune to dump Trump. They're key money givers to – then why that? I mean – Biden's list of transition team members are all former Wall Street employees and close ties
to
Wall Street. But stop again. Legitimately ask yourself a question. Why?
Yeah. Well, it's power. It's the
and why
the
do
old,
they and why do they
the
want
the
why do they want the power?
Well, they want to control us.
No.
That's the way I feel.
They want to make a lot of money, too.
Well, you know, they'll definitely do that. And we'll pay the price. And I worry more. I'm in my 70s, and I worry more about the young people.
Of course.
And the people who don't really understand what is happening to this nation.
But remember.
And the breakdown, it's in increments, in little increments.
And Nikita
said. Eat away.
Nikita said, you're welcome it.
Yeah,
These people are Bolsheviks. These people are. I mean, you can't get them
exactly.
to talk. They can't. I've tried many, many times. Come on a radio show. Let's talk about it. I mean, whether they're anarchists or Bolsheviks or.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to have the conversation because I got I love that history but they will give that to you, and in giving it to you, they're going to want everything.
Something back. Yep.
Yeah. Good call.
Thank you.
We go to Janice. Janice, you're on a radio show. It is Thursday morning. Good morning.
Hello. Doesn't the re-election of President Trump boil down to the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania mandating that they not be able to count those votes that came in after lockdown?
Right now, I think
the only thing he has?
Yeah. No, I mean, there seems to be a number of fronts in this fight and a number of different states that are involved. The challenges are taking place in a number of states. And the one state that I think that really does hold up a chance is Georgia. And if they really
they're not going to be able to cast those votes because they've already thrown away the envelopes.
Well, you're saying
they don't know who.
You're already giving an excuse why it isn't going to be accurate.
Well, I don't think
it off. But what you think. But again, if you look around and look at where the challenges are taking place, and Philly is a big challenge place right now. And
well, this man in Nevada, he went to his local precinct and he found 300 dead people.
I know, but listen to me.
Out of state.
That's all.
Well, then he went to Reno and he found 1,300.
But first of all, let's assume it's true, which I 300 people. That's not going to make a difference. But then you have to bundle that up, and you have to get representation, and you have to get sworn, and you have to bring into a courtroom and put it before the public and put it before the judges and say, here's 300 people, and you know, and. Dead people voting has been a tradition in Cook County or in Texas forever, but you got to be able. You can't just. I've listened to so much talk radio. It's just hot air.
Well, you're right. I'm saying you're right. You have to have individual people go to each precinct and document that, and then turn it in. And Colorado has what, 50 counties?
No, but forget Colorado. Listen, nobody had to cheat in Colorado. They didn't have to cheat. Donald Trump lost here by over 400,000 votes, and don't tell me they cheated to get Cory Gardner to lose. That's just
sad.
I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. But, we had plenty of dead people and moved people that voted, but they didn't really matter.
Nobody. But, I mean, Colorado, for all of its insanity, that was a legit vote.
But why have this count in Georgia, Alabama, wherever they're counting?
Georgia.
Why? What do they mean certify? What do they mean?
Well, they're saying, look, and it's really interesting because the guy's a Republican, the Secretary of State, and what's at stake now, I think, in Georgia beyond Donald Trump is who's going to be the senator and who's going to be the U.S. senators, plural, out of Georgia. And if they can flip it like they flipped to Joe Biden, Georgia was always a red state.
What do they mean?
Well, they mean, I think, exactly what they mean is they sit down and they go over the votes one at a time.
All right, I've done that. I've been a counter, vote counter. And so these machines, they're saying these machines
What I'm reading is, and what I've listened to, is a hand count. Not a machine count, but a hand count. That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Certify each vote.
Well, okay, let's see. But. I mean, this Republican Secretary of State, his name is Brad. I think it's Raffensperger, or S. It's S-P-E-R-E-R. But he ordered, there's 159 counties in Georgia, and he ordered all of them to conduct a hand recount and an audit of all the votes, cast in the presidential.
What does that audit mean?
Listen, you're making me crazy. I don't know. What I'm saying to you, he ordered, listen, and if it comes out wrong, then you can say, well, gee, what he ordered.
No, I don't care what it comes out. I want to know what they're doing legally to make it.
Listen, bingo, Peter. I just told you. He ordered it to be, there's 100, I didn't know this till last night. There's 159 counties that make up Georgia. The Republican Secretary of State ordered all 159 counties to conduct a hand recount and an audit of all the votes cast in the presidential race. Now, stop right there. He says he vows to ensure a thorough audit of all the votes.
Mm-hmm.
He will, he will examine. He will examine the procedures of an audit. And that's the audit. And he said the state will do a hand recount. Now, if that comes back in and says Joe Biden won, what are you going to say?
Well, Joe Biden won. I don't care. I want to know if they're being just in what they're doing.
Well, then you have to accept this guy is going to do this. He's a Republican.
He's a Republican. Well, maybe he'll let some observers in to watch.
Well, ma'am, they're already going to be in there to watch. That's what an audit is. All right. There's a moment. 303.
Okay,
you're welcome. 303-696-1971. I want to go home to the armadillo. take me with you. I don't know what's going to happen. You got a vehicle you're not using. Donate your car, your truck, your SUV to Step Denver and get a tax deduction. You know, I love that Cory Gardner ad about John Hickenlooper creating all the homelessness. Did you guys love that ad? God, I love that. I'm reading about Georgia last night and the Senate seat, and they can flip the Senate, and the Dems can have the Senate 51-48. You know, we didn't need Cory's seat. But, you know, hey, come on. We're all going to follow John now. And that ad about creating homelessness, God, I thought that was so striking, taking some of that work that Stefan did, boy, putting it in an ad, and, oh, they didn't do it. Oh, really? Oh, we have to back him now. Way to go, Ken. Way to go, Core. Anyhow, we've seen this insanity in the city. I saw more of it again yesterday. And there is a place that, beginning with the late Bob Cote, Paul now has it. And Vincent is my guy. If you got a car, a truck, a motorcycle, whatever you have, a boat, and it's sitting there, and you can call Vincent at 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020, or go on the internet, stepdenver.org. You call Vincent up, and they'll find a way. If you can't get it there, they'll tow it there. They hit me, man. We got Joe Williams on the show. I said to Steph, yesterday talking to Billy, I said, we got to get Joe on, just whatever he thinks. You got a vehicle not using, donate cars and trucks and the rest of that stuff to Step Denver, get a tax deduction, save somebody's life. Since 1983, Step's been giving men the opportunity to overcome addiction, rebuild their lives, sobriety, work, accountability, and community. I would urge you, last year listeners donated 154, all kinds of vehicles. 227 guys go to the program. 9.2 million economic impact. Please do this. I mean, you'll get ahead of it because if you got this old beat-up car, they clean them, fix them, paint them, tune them, then they sell it, and that's the number you get for the tax deduction. And you're ahead of the game and change somebody's life. Call Vincent today, 303-296-9020, 303-296-9020 today.
Hi, this is Hugh Hewitt. Join me at 9 right after Pete on News Talk 710 KNUF.
There's a house in New Orleans. It's a Thursday morning, November the 12th, 2020. Rob Nadelson coming up. 45, the high, 57 tomorrow, and Saturday, 58. A terrific book, Empire, William Paley, and the making of CBS coming up. Stefan this afternoon. We're back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., and the beat goes on. There truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom, the remodels. And, you know, we got time. It's November the 12th. You're looking for the big holidays in December. You can move the best countertops, or wait, you know, set it all up now, wait till after the first of the year. Wholesale pricing, and Mitch Floria at the Art of Granite. Mitch has become a friend. He sits in studio with us. I say it all the time, but it's, you want to get one of those conversations. Mitch grew up in Romania under the Ceausescus. Whew! And he talks about life and what he's done in this country and how much he loves America and how much he works hard and he does what he does and his family. He turns granite, quartz, marble, other materials into true works of art. Schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch. Call 303-386-5919. That's simple. 303-386-5919. Visit his website, artagranite.com. They can come all these different ways. They can do it on the internet or by phone. Come out and see you. You can zoom it in. They'll COVID up and they'll come to the house. Mention 710KNUS. Get the bathroom countertop free with a purchase of the new kitchen countertop. Get a kitchen or bath. These are all great deals. I mean, get it done. You know, stuff, everything ties together, right? He's my guy. Call Mitch today. Just talk to him. 303-386-5919. Look at the house and say it's time. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Artofgranite.com. Please say good morning. He's a friend. Welcome back to the radio show, the talented Rob Nadelson. Hey, man, good morning. Welcome back to 710.
The great Peter Boyles, it is great to be back with you. You know, I was on leave for, I was on leave for 5 months.
I know.
And not being on your show is one of the things I really missed. That's the absolute truth.
I got to tell you how much I love and respect Rob. We've become friends. He's a brilliant scholar. He's a teacher. He has just done incredible work. What did you do for 5 months?
Well, I'll tell you what I didn't do, which was a major reason for the leave, was to do some foreign travel, which, of course, none of which occurred. But I did get to spend time with family. I got to rethink the direction of my life. You know, this is an alternative to retirement.
Oh, yeah.
To do a lot of spend a lot of time in the outdoors. I'm kind of an outdoors guy.
Yeah.
And so despite the lack of travel, it was a pretty good time.
Was there the moment of enlightenment? Did it happen?
No, there was no moment of enlightenment. There were occasional drips. There were occasional drips of drabs of enlightenment, or what I took for enlightenment. That's all.
I mean, I'm actually I love you and respect you so much. I'm doing the same thing. It's like looking for waiting for Godot.
Yeah.
You know, he's coming.
This was, I mean, I got a lot of ribbing on it, you know.
Oh,
Rob's taking, but the fact is that this was the first break in work for 46 years.
Yeah.
You know something about
don't you,
Peter?
We were talking, who is it? My brother and I were talking. I said, I had a paper route and then worked in a bowling alley, worked in a pool room. You know, you're always hustling to make a buck, you know. And John Medved and I were talking. He was talking about, you know, being a newspaper boy and, in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know, just always worked. I don't know. What did Merle Haggard say? Worked every day since I've been 20. I don't know.
Well, I started, my first job was as a stringer for a local newspaper. I think I was, of course it wasn't full time, but I was about 14 years old. And then after that, I worked as a golf caddy. And if you know that I'm 5'6", I was not real big for that job. I was a lifeguard.
Yeah.
Worked as a clerk at a law office.
Oh, yeah.
But and then just
oh, you, course, had, you, you had like cool jobs. I didn't have, you know. Dean Singleton and I had a long phone call yesterday. You know, dirt farm man. You know, outdoor bathroom. He walked into town and got himself a job in a newspaper office, and that's what it begins.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody gave him anything, and. You know, and, you know, it's like we should do some. You know what? When this thing lifts, why don't you come in studio? We'll do 4 hours on first jobs.
You know, actually, that was on my mind, and I would have come in studio today, except that I had an Arkansas interview right after that, right before this. And so I was unable to do that. But, yeah, I very much want to come into studio.
I miss you. I miss seeing you. What are you reading now, by the way? Let's check with people.
Well, oh boy, this is going to enable people to peg me. I'm reading Tacitus's Agricola.
Okay.
Tacitus was ancient Rome's greatest historian.
Mm-hmm.
At least most people think so who study that era. And his first published work was a history of the career of his father-in-law Agricola,
mm-hmm.
who was a very successful governor in Roman Britain, and. I'm reading it in Latin. I'm almost finished with it now.
I'm so impressed.
The Latin is extremely difficult, very difficult. One of our great founders, John Dickinson, happened to write a letter to somebody saying he was reading Tacitus, and the response came back, "You're reading Tacitus? Not one guy in 1,000 can do that." And that's at a time when everybody started studying Latin at age 8.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it's very, very difficult Latin, but is extremely rewarding. So that's the primary thing I'm reading now.
Wasn't Latin and Greek considered part of being educated in the classics?
In the founding era, boys started studying Latin around age 8. Most of them didn't study Greek unless they went to college. But they had to take a Latin test to go to college, and then once they were there, they learned Greek. Girls, by the way, were not uneducated. They generally were taught modern foreign languages like French and Italian.
Yeah, new French. A new French was for the society was spoke French. That's the language of diplomacy, right?
It was a language of diplomacy, and girls who were talented generally also took. Took Italian. Many went on to study Latin as well, but that was considered more of a boy's education.
Our guest, the one and only Rob Nadelson, I so miss him. He's brilliant. I just finished this book. We're going to do it at 8 o'clock. Empire, William Paley and the Creating of Making of CBS. I'm reading a book about Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. I got drawn back into baseball books and how much they hated each other, and they ended up playing like these golf games together for I mean, it was amazing stuff. But how much, you know,
I thought everybody hated Ty Cobb.
but this guy kind of cleans Cobb up. And, you know, Cobb sees his mother shoot his father. And their team, people went after him. They thought they had snipers going to shoot him. And I kind of got this thing for Ty Cobb now. But here's the part the guy makes. The legendary Tris Speaker and Christy Mathewson were probably in the Klan, were Klan members. Because if they talk about how Cobb treated black people, treat him horribly. And then what he did to Ruth and what Ruth did to him. But in this era that was just incredible. And he also went off to the First World War. And I don't know anything about Ty Cobb. But this is about Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. And their clash and how they clashed all their lives, and they're just both, you know, remarkable guys in their own time. But they point out that Tris Speaker, I remember legendary Tris Speaker and Christy Mathewson probably were in the Klan, bragged about it. And so
I don't know if this is true or not. My memory may fail me, but I seem to remember a story about Ty Cobb. And for listeners who don't know this, Ty Cobb had an enormous batting average. I think he still holds the record for the highest lifetime batting average, but he was not a home run hitter. And so at some point in his career, Babe Ruth started to make a mark as a home run hitter, and Ty Cobb said, home run hitter, that's no big deal, just watch. And that day, Ty Cobb hit 3 home runs. Again, I don't know if that's a true story, but the point is that the man was extremely...
It's in the book.
That versus multi-talented,
Rob, it's in the book that Cobb was an extra base hitter and was a clutch hitter. And when Ruth started pounding, remember, Ruth's a pitcher, and he struck Ty Cobb out. And, I mean, he hit people, and they were just, I mean, I finished that book perfect about Don Larson. And, Carl Ferrillo and those guys, how tough they were. God, and Frillo, you know, running down, diving in the dugout to beat up Leo DeRocher in front of everybody. You know, it's like, that's how tough they were. And, man, it's just like this great stuff about those guys. And, but the book is about Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth, and we'll get them on the show when we get the book read. All right, let me turn to this. The man is here. How about this? Let me sell something and come back. And then why don't you just come in and start co-hosting? I miss you on the show so much. This guy's absolutely brilliant. Rob Nadelson is with us. And you're back off the road. You can start doing, like, every couple of days, do a radio show with me again.
You bet.
I miss you. I really miss you. When we come back, I want you to dope out this Trump-Biden, okay, and see what you think happens next. Cowboy Moving and the recommended mover, cowboymoving.com is the website. Here we are again. We're talking about remodeling. We're talking about hiding Christmas gifts, all this kind of stuff. They can do it. Michael and Sherry Gale Folsom, family-owned and operated, same family since 68. Cowboy provides residential commercial moves throughout Colorado, can store your valuables. Residential moves, thousands and thousands and thousands of families, a trusted Cowboy. You got a big commercial move. You got an office move. You want to move grandma. I just want to move the heavy stuff, the piano, refrigerator, or the whole thing, soup to nuts. Or you're doing a remodel and take your furniture out of the house and they'll store it for you very safely, bring it back when it's good to go, or hide out a holiday gift. Cowboy, the recommended mover, the men that do the work. They did it for me, and they can do it for you, and they hump. Moves to loads to holds to storage. Cowboy's been Colorado's recommended mover since 1968, donating a portion of every move to Freedom Service Dogs. Just get the estimate. 303-789-2200, 303-789-2200, 303-789-2200. Make the call today.
The Peter Boyles Show.
Thursday morning, everyone, the 12th morning of November. 45 the high, 57 on Friday. We'll do the market update. We have Amy with us this morning. Amy, good morning. And what do we got going on?
Good morning, Pete. Kind of a Thursday morning, actually, or excuse me, a quiet Thursday morning on Wall Street, which is, I think, always kind of a welcome sign for investors. Obviously, the unemployment numbers were sort of in line, so to speak, at this point in time. We've got earnings today of Cisco Systems and Walt Disney. And to respond, the Dow Jones is off about 200 points. The S&P is off 15. A little bit of a rally in technology, though, again, with the NASDAQ today. So I think right now, you know, we've got sort of more normal market movement as opposed to just an emotion-driven sell-off, as in several weeks ago, or even kind of the total euphoria, which was created from Pfizer's announcement on Monday. So what investors need to keep in mind is this, right? Markets are going to fluctuate. You're going to see movements on different indices based on what type of sectors are moving the most. Don't think it's a direct correlation of your portfolio, period. I think that's why everyone needs a customized plan. You've got to have communication with your advisor during times of uncertainty. And know that you've got different buckets, as we like to say, set up for different goals. For example, income, long-term growth, safety, et cetera. So just give us a call if you want to talk through it. Kind of a quiet news day. I'm not going to make too much out of it, Pete, but we're standing by and ready to help.
303-843-0918, 303-843-0918, 843-0918. Market's bouncing down a little bit. Stay with it. Give AIM a call. Thanks. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You got it, bud.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
12 before the hour of 8 o'clock, Rob Nadelson back on the show. All right. How's this thing end with Donald Trump and Joe Biden? Where's it end?
Okay, well, bear with me for a minute, Peter. I'm going to take this step by step. Number one, we have a three-tier presidential election system. There's the first, there's a choice of the presidential electors in the states. That's why we go to the polls. Then the presidential electors meet on December 14th. They vote for president and vice president. And then if nobody gets a majority of the electoral votes, there's a runoff for president in the House of Representatives and for vice president in the Senate. Now, we've got six states that are still very much up in the air. If you don't count those six states, the electoral votes for Trump and Biden are almost tied, 232 for Trump, 227. So the question is, what happens in those six states? There's a federal law which says that the voting for electors is supposed to happen on November 3rd. But there's another federal law which says that if a state does not successfully choose its electors on November 3rd, then the state legislature decides what to do about it. So at this point, if it turns out that election results in states like Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and Arizona are hopelessly corrupt, then the legislature of that state has to make a decision. They can call another quickie election, limited only to presidential electors. They've got that power. Or they can choose the electors themselves. If the governor is balks at the idea of calling a new election, for example, in Wisconsin, the legislature is Republican, but the governor is Democrat. If he refuses to call a special session of the legislature or refuses to agree to a special election, then the legislature has the power by itself to appoint the presidential electors. There's a lot of talk about these state legislature's not appointing anybody, not certifying anybody, allowing it to go into the House of Representatives for various reasons. I think that's risky. However, if nobody's got a majority of the electoral votes after December 14, then there's a vote in the House of Representatives, state by state. And even though the Democrats control the House, Republicans control much of the delegations, most of the delegations, state delegations. So they vote by state, and they vote on the president, and then in the Senate, they choose the vice president. So that's where we are. The real uncertainty here is there are two. Number one, how much evidence is the Trump team going to be able to generate of fraudulent or defective elections? And secondly, in what states? Mm-hmm. And then the other big question is, are the state legislatures of those states going to man up and do what they have to do if it turns out that their elections were hopelessly corrupt?
Our guest is Rob Nadelson, one of the smartest men I've ever known. So I can't find, and I've spent since Sunday reading, lawsuits that you know far better than I. But you have to be able to go in and show the fraud, do you not?
That's right. Here's the background on that. The U.S. Supreme Court and other federal courts have held that voting is a fundamental right. Technically, under the Constitution, it's not a right, but the courts have held that's a fundamental right. And if a state has a corrupt election, then that's a violation of the 14th Amendment. Mm-hmm. However, the plaintiff complaining about the election has got a heavy burden. He can't just come in with 20 affidavits said, you know, my vote wasn't counted. He's got to show fraud or changes of the rules or other defects that more likely than not actually change the result of the election.
Agreed.
And that is a heavy burden.
Have you seen anything? You're way smarter. I'm just one of the smartest guys I've ever known, you guys, Rob Nadelson. I've since Sunday, Robbie, I've looked. Any hope that Donald Trump has of retaining the Oval Office, they have to have proof of voting fraud. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen accusations, which it's like talk radio. It's meaningless. Have you seen anything? Have you seen anything that triggers?
It doesn't have to be voter fraud.
Right.
There's a body of case law which says that if there's a change in the rules some way in midstream, that can make an election fundamentally defective.
But do we see that anywhere?
If they're treating yeah, arguably. I mean, for example, in Pennsylvania, you've got a cutoff date for receiving ballots, and then a court suddenly decides that ballots can be received later. That's what I mean by a voting rule change, either in midstream or after the election.
I know that story. I've read that story. I've been focused a lot on Pennsylvania, reading about it. But is it enough?
I don't know if it's enough in Pennsylvania or not, because you've got to demonstrate not only that there was that change, but also that change caused the change in result.
We have the we got the music. I'm going to say this. I want you back on the show. We're booked out Friday. I want you back here on Monday. Can we do that?
Do Monday. I'm booked, but I'll talk to
you. I'll put you on hold. You speak to Billy as soon as you can get back, Robbie.
Absolutely.
I'm so thrilled you're back. Thank you, man. Thank you for always everything you do.
Thank you.
All right, Bubba, hang on. Rob Nadelson, everybody. The Empire, the William Paley and the Making of CBS. Great book. Next, here on 710 KNUS.